And you are listening to Law and Gospel on this Monday, November the 3rd, in the year of our Lord 2014, here on Worldwide KFUO Radio. And though we are going to get what I said in the promo about a seeming contradiction from God's point of view in regard to ceremonial laws, that on the one hand, he likes them, and on the other hand, he despises them. We'll be taking a look at that. But first of all, we have a special guest with us, and that is the Rod Zwanitzer, a pastor who's my boss, as well as a head of KFUO, because today's a very special day, is it not?
It is. We're kicking off today, Tom, our celebration of 90 years of being able to broadcast the gospel. So the actual anniversary date is December the 14th, but we thought in honor of 90 days of being able to proclaim this gospel worldwide, we would do it in 90 days. So we kind of centered, you know, the actual date in the middle and kind of a little bit ahead. So today we've got a display here in the International Center where the studios are that the employees can check out. We have a Lego display that a pastor, Sam Schulteis, out in California did for us. I don't know if you had a chance to look at that yet.
Not yet.
Really pretty cool what he did. So we're putting pictures up on our website that people can see them. And then we're giving out some cookies and starting to let people get a hold of our anniversary T-shirt that has a Luther on it. You can see Walther's even into it. He's got one out there across his arm today.
A statue of Walther.
So for 13 weeks, these 90 days, we're going to be highlighting a different emphasis, celebrating one of the oldest Christian radio stations in the world. Began December 14th, 1924, in an attic down at the original seminary down on Jefferson here in St. Louis.
So this is the third location for KFUO then, in a sense.
Yes.
Being at the International Center.
Yeah. And we want to thank God for Law and Gospel. And for how many years now have you been?
18.
18 here in Law and Gospel. And a lot of followers. I'm listening to your topic for today. And I said, gosh, I want to be on for that. Because, I do kind of an apologetic show.
Yes.
And we're going to do one because we've had requests about people don't know how to answer the non-believers when they accuse us, you know, like, hey, shouldn't you Christians be killing anybody who found an adultery with stones? You know, the ceremonial law versus the
moral law,
then the civil law.
Yes.
And they don't get that now in the New Testament. So I know you're going to cover some of that, so I'm going to have to take notes.
More importantly is, how do people contribute now to KFUO during these 90 days? What do they need to do? Who do they phone?
Well, they can just call in. Joni's extension, gosh, I think it's 314-996-1512, I think, is Joni.
Okay.
And or they can just call on the switchboard and ask for KFUO, and they'll get whoever they need to. And or you can go out on our website, kfuo.org. There's a support page. You can give it there. We're going to have all kinds of ways in these 90 days people can support us, because we're listener supported, as you know. So.
Is it a different theme each week?
No. Yes, different theme, a different emphasis. We're going to do things like we've got a really good, fine Lutheran hymn writer, Pastor Stephen Starkey.
Yes.
He's been commissioned to write us a hymn in honor of our 90th, and I've already seen some of the lyrics. Wonderful stuff. We're also, doing an anniversary tree when we get to Christmas. We're going to be giving God Thanksgiving for all the technology and over these 90 years. And you know what amazes me, Tom? The forefathers that saw to do this radio station, they were always on the cutting edge, as you know. When they started in 24, hardly any AM receivers out there.
Right.
And people thought they were nuts.
Yes.
Wanting money to do a station. Same when they went to FM and now internet. So, people are hearing this program now around the world, we know. I have a computer program I can go on and see where people are listening. Just, I can't find your street. Don't worry. All I can find is your town. And I look at this, Tom, and sometimes I see people in North Korea listening to us. That excites me, and I know it does you, that it might be the only way some people listen to the precious gospel.
Yeah, I have a family in Australia. They sit around with two children listening. A lot of time, talk about the archive, how you can get to programs that already have been on.
Okay. For almost everything, KFUO.org, or even if you just Google KFUO or Worldwide KFUO, you'll get our website. And then on the front page, you'll see a lot of information, and the archives, in which most of our shows are, including Law and Gospel, are on there. On the right side, you'll see it, archives, or there's a heading there too. But I would say just look on the left, punch on Law and Gospel or other programs that are archived, and it'll give you the complete list of them. You can go way back.
And due to the new technologies, if you have a smartphone, you can download it. What are the options there?
Well, you can. There's so many today. We have an iPhone app that we have over 7,000 users. Android, we're starting to get that together. It's a little tougher. Wi-Fi radio, anything really, you have an internet, you can listen to KFUO wherever you are.
And if they come in today, they get a free cookie?
They do.
So if you haven't had breakfast, what a great time to come in.
Yeah, they're limited. We just really have enough for the employees, and some of them don't want them, so we have a few left over.
Okay.
Beautiful logo cookie. So, a great, stay tuned. There's actually a website. You can go on our website, and you'll see a slider at the top, and also on the LCMS website, and it'll take you right to a page where all the stuff that's going on with this anniversary celebration is right there.
And that's at KFUO.org.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Anything else? Any final comments?
I just want to get back to my desk and take some notes on this ceremonial law, because I'm going to be doing a show on it.
Okay. Thank you so
thanks
much.
Thanks for having on, and blessings. And thanks for all you do for KFUO, Pastor Baker.
Well, thanks for letting me
be on.
We
have a great following, and so thank you so much.
All right. God bless.
You too.
And that was Reverend Rod Zwanitzer, who's head of KFUO here. And please, if you're at all interested in donating to us, we would sure love to receive a contribution. All right. I'm going to read two Bible verses. The first one says, and it's from Leviticus 1:9, the smoke from the burnt offering sacrifices ascended to God as a soothing aroma to the Lord. Now let me read from Amos chapter 5. Even though you offer me your burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. And the peace offerings of your fattened animals, I will not look upon them. Wow. Doesn't that seem like a contradiction? Maybe it's a different God. Nope. It's the same God, the same Holy Trinity of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. On the one hand, the burnt offerings, he says, are a wonderful aroma, soothing aroma. And on the other hand, he's not going to accept them. What goes on here? Well, let's first of all talk a little bit about burnt offerings. Some people think that Abel's offering in Genesis 4:4 was a burnt offering. Although the first recorded instance is, of course, Genesis 8, verse 20, when Noah offers burnt offerings after the flood. Now, God ordered Abraham to offer his son Isaac in a burnt offering in Genesis 22, but then he provided a ram as the replacement. After suffering through 9 of the 10 plagues, Pharaoh decided to let the people go from bondage to Egypt. But his refusal to allow the Israelites to take their livestock with them in order to offer burnt offerings brought about the final plague that led to the Israelites' delivery. That's in Exodus chapter 10, 24 to 29. Wow. So God was considerate of burnt offerings to such a level that he sent another plague to Pharaoh in light of the fact that he didn't allow the people to leave with their livestock. Now, the Hebrew word for burnt offering actually means to ascend, literally to go up in smoke. The smoke actually from the sacrifice ascended to God. Technically, any burnt offering over an altar was considered a burnt offering. But in more specific terms, the burnt offering was the complete destruction of the animal, except for the hide, which the priests receive, in an effort to renew the relationship between holy God and sinful man. So, did any of these burnt offerings get people's sins forgiven? And the answer is no. The book of Hebrews makes that very clear, that no sacrifice that they did ended up with the forgiveness of sins. Then why do it? Well, what God was doing in the ceremonial law was pointing forward to their need for a Savior. And remember, a number of the burnt offerings were lambs. The great Passover, many lambs were put to death as a sacrifice to God. So when John the Baptizer says, "Behold the Lamb of God who has come to take away the sin of the world," wow, Jesus is now the fulfillment of these ceremonial laws. But what made God change his mind in some instances that rather than being a wonderful aroma, a soothing aroma, a burnt offering, he says in Amos, "I will not accept them, and the peace offerings of your fattened animals I will not look upon." Well, how do we understand this? Do we say this is a contradiction to the Bible? You know, there are some scholars who would say when they see such things that this was just different writers. They had a different point of view. But no, there's only one author of the entire Bible, and that is God. Yes, he used many writers, but we always use one writer to help understand another writer. Amos chapter 5, the context, helps us to understand what is happening here. "Woe to you who desire the day of the Lord. Why would you have the day of the Lord? It is darkness and not light, as if a man fled from a lion and a bear met him, or went into the house and leaned his hand against the wall and a serpent bit him. Is not the day of the Lord darkness and not light and gloom with no brightness in it? I hate, I despise your feasts, and I take no delight in your solemn assemblies." Wow. God is saying that what they're doing now in the ceremonial laws, he despises. About the closest outside of the Old Testament we can get to God's understanding of that is, of course, many of the unbelieving Pharisees at the time of Jesus. Remember from that Luke passage, the parable of the Pharisee and the publican, the Pharisee says, "Thank God I'm not like other men," especially like that hated tax collector over there, you know, because he's working for the Romans, our enemy. "But God, I know you really are going to take care of me because I fast, I tithe." And I'm sure he could go through a lengthy list of the ceremonial laws. Now, this is such a simple law and gospel distinction. When somebody is involved in doing the ceremonial laws, looking forward to the Messiah that will come that these represent, then God is pleased with it. But when somebody does the ceremonial laws and the person is not looking forward, but is thinking he's being saved by the ceremonial laws, not by Jesus or the Messiah, then God is not pleased. By the way, our numbers here, 821-0850, toll free 1-800-730-2727. Let's go to the phone lines. Hi, I'm Tom Baker. Who's this?
This is Jan Ellison.
Yes, go ahead. You're on the air.
Well, thank you. Looking at Hebrews 11:4, which says, "By faith Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts. And through his faith, though he died, he still speaks." We understand that, like you were saying earlier, there are different types of law in the Bible. And I think that the contrast between those two passages was God saying, you can't just do what you want to please me. It has to be an offering in faith. What do you think?
I would go so far to say, Jan, that you can't do anything to please him.
Yeah.
In other words, if you try to please him by your works, then that is using your works for an ulterior motive. God is pleased with your works, but the motivation in doing your good works is simply because he has commanded, and out of love for him, we do his good works. And you see, I think you really hit the nail on the head here, where Cain was trying to win God over with his sacrifice. Abel was not. He was following the command of God, and he knew from Adam and Eve that a Savior was coming, because that had been promised in Genesis 3:15. So I would go so far to say that the nice thing about Abel was that it was faith in the promise that made his offering acceptable, whereas Cain did not have faith in that promise.
Exactly. And I think that that's why Jesus was a ceremonial Jew, to model this behavior.
Yes. Remember who sentenced him to death was the high priest, who, of course, ordered the sacrifice of lambs on the Passover. And he was probably even unaware the part he was playing in the salvation of the world when he ordered the death of Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God who comes to take away the sin of the world.
Thank you, Pastor.
Thank you so very much for calling. Anybody else can call at 821-0850 or toll-free 1-800-730-2727. I'll tell you, this afternoon we're going to be talking on Issues Etc., 4-4-15 around there, and we're going to be talking about Abraham offering Isaac. There again, we seem to have another contradiction. On the one hand, God says through Isaac, all the nations will be blessed, and yet Abraham is to do a burnt offering of Isaac, which means there won't be anything left. Is that not a contradiction? Well, tune in to Issues Etc. this afternoon to hear our answer to that question, as Todd Wilkin will be asking me important questions. And the whole goal of that Issues Etc. Sunday School lesson will not only to prepare the Sunday School teachers for teaching at this coming Sunday, but also to help you understand why God did this. Getting back then to the point is that at the time of Amos a prophet, was coming down, people had really lost their faith. They had kind of like become Mormons, where they think that by following all the ceremonial laws and being good people, that they're going to earn their way not only into God's presence, but maybe even become their own God with their own planet if they're a male. Females don't get their own planets, only males do. But that is a false understanding of the Holy Trinity. So the purpose of the ceremonial laws were to point forward to the need for a Savior. Every time you did a sin, there had to be some kind of offering you made. If it was a serious sin, it could be a burnt offering, an animal, or less serious sins, cereal offerings. But can you imagine the drudgery on the part of the people at that time, always having to come through with some kind of work righteousness in order to get right with God? This simply was not going to fix them. This simply was not. This is called law living. Remember, there's two kinds of theologians. All of you are theologians. Anytime you think about God, you are thinking theologically. You're either a theologian of self-glory, trying to get as much glory around yourself so that God is going to be appreciative of you, or you're a theologian of the cross, looking to the cross of Jesus Christ. And in looking to the cross of Jesus Christ, you find salvation. Let's go back to the phone lines. Hi, you're on the air. Who's this?
Mike.
Hi, Mike. How are you doing?
Let me turn my radio on. Hold on.
Okay.
Yeah, listen, I was listening to what you were saying, and but really, when you read into Malachi, the reason why they did all this stuff was because they thought that they would receive material prosperity in this life. So that was really their main motivation. They really weren't worried about going to heaven or anything like that.
I think that's a very good point, and I appreciate you calling with that, Mike, that we find that today it's called the prosperity gospel. You get it from the Osteen characters and those who hardly ever, in fact, I've never heard them talk about the cross of Christ and the forgiveness of sins, but instead, he's got a new ad that you can sign up for $4.95 a month, and you can actually get from his wife, who he thinks is a pastor. Also, and what does he talk about? He talks about that you have a power within you that is stronger than anything. Well, no, you don't. Unless you are a Christian, and he's not talking about the Holy Spirit. He's talking about the power you have within you of faith. If you believe strong enough, you can accomplish anything. And of course, you'll say with the help of God. But that is a prosperity gospel. Nowhere in the Bible does God promise prosperity. In fact, the readings for this All Saints Day yesterday in the gospel, we didn't deal with them, were the Beatitudes. Blessed are those who are persecuted for my name's sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who are poor in the spirit. So don't give me a song and dance that God ever promises prosperity to you, particularly in light of the fact that prosperity has not been promised. No, there is a greater prosperity. It's a spiritual prosperity. That before Almighty God, guess what? Because Jesus fulfilled the ceremonial laws of the Old Testament, your sins have been forgiven. You are dressed in the righteousness of God. That is really, really important. All right. Going back to the phone lines right now. Hi, you're on the air. Who's this?
Hi, Joe.
Joe, go ahead.
The verse in Ephesians, I'm driving, so I don't know where, but I think something about do not grieve the Holy Spirit. And just wondering if that ties in, well, I guess the other side of the same coin, like you're saying, to try to please God with the wrong motivation. I heard you discussing that, and I've had people bring that one up as if in our actions we grieve the Holy Spirit, and I'm just wondering if that is in Ephesians, if you know where that is, and what your thoughts are as far as what specifically Paul was talking about, what we are doing that grieves the Holy Spirit, or what would be a good way to respond to someone who thinks that their actions somehow change the way God perceives them or his attitude towards them if they're a Christian.
Yes, the verse you're talking about is Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Now, the next verse is, remember, Scripture interprets Scripture. It explains to us how that grieving comes about. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. So the way we grieve the Holy Spirit, here he has given us the ability to do fruit of the Holy Spirit, and we reject his will. We reject the third use of the law, which tells us what we are to do, and instead we want to become God ourselves. That does not change God's attitude toward us if there is repentance. He still forgives us. He still is going to take us to heaven. But there's no doubt when Jesus wept over Jerusalem, one can say that the Holy Spirit, in a sense, weeps over us when we fall back into bitterness, wrath, and anger.
It's always God's law when it comes down to it. He's telling us what's best for us, and we reject that.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's kind of like a parent telling a child, say there's you got some ice cream in the house and the child wants to eat the whole half gallon. And the parent says, no, don't do that. And of course, he likes it so much, he eats the whole half gallon. Then he gets sick. Then he realizes that though he has grieved his parents because he is sick, they still love him. They still cling to him. And in a sense, he's learned his lesson.
Would it go too far to say, I mean, with what you just said, that the Holy Spirit's grieved because we've harmed ourselves by by disobedience, by rejecting God's command to us, we bring hurt and harm into our own lives and the lives of others is what grieves him.
I would go one step further, that we're not only grieving ourselves and hurting ourselves, but in Christ Jesus, we're spitting in his face as he hangs on the cross for us. And that's where the love of the Holy Spirit to the Son is so great that he is grieved when we reject Christ as our Savior. Okay?
The next point is always so that I need to knuckle down and not do that.
No, you need to get into Word and Sacrament, and the Holy Spirit will keep you. All righty?
Thank you.
Thank you very much. That's right. God is running the verbs. God is the one who is responsible for our salvation. That's a really important point. And please listen to Pastor Rod Zwanisser in donating to KFUO during the next 90 days. On tomorrow's Law and Gospel, we'll have with us our good friend, Reverend Mark Smith. And we're going to be looking at the hymn, Wake, Awake, for Night is Flying. And it's based on a parable, which we're going to be talking about as we near the end times of this church year. I'm Tom Baker. Till tomorrow, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel on Worldwide KFUO. You can write Pastor Baker at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122, or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. We are the messenger of good news, KFUO.